Well, it's a privilege and an honor to introduce Mountain Lights' Tom White. He joined our church earlier this year, and we are thrilled. Born in North Carolina, Tom's family moved to Atlanta in 1961, where he attended high school and college. His first career was in roofing material sales and management, which took him to Columbia, South Carolina for 8 years, and then to Tampa. In 1997, Tom began a second career in health insurance as an agent and a broker. Somewhere along the way, Tom found the beautiful Diane Anderson. They married, and between them, they have 4 sons and 6 grandchildren. In 2015, they retired, and like many people in Florida, they found their way to Ellijay, where they are allowed to occupy the home of 8 cats and their 76-pound puppy, Aggie, a beautiful golden doodle. And golden doodles are really beautiful. There's a great YouTube video of Buddy and Reagan. You must look at it. They dress the dog to match the little boys. That's priceless. Initially, Tom spent his retirement days hiking, but now just basically walks with Aggie. Tom is also an avid reader and spends much of his time following politics through many news providers on several platforms. Do more walking. Tom previously volunteered for the John Kerry presidential campaign and subsequently worked with the Barack Obama presidential campaign through Organizing for America as a community organizer. In January of 2016, perhaps sensing a dark cloud on the horizon, Tom reclaimed his political mojo in Ellijay and helped to reestablish the Gilmer County Democrats, and is now vice chair of the Gilmer County Democratic Committee and is our state representative to the Georgia Democratic Party. We are enriched by Tom's decision to become a member of Mountain Light earlier this year, and we are proud to have him stand before us today. As a slight footnote, political discussions sometimes raise an uncomfortable level around any place you go anymore. Historically, however, I do want you all to know that Unitarian Universalists have always been very active in political causes, notably the civil rights movement, the LGBTQ rights movement, social justice, and feminist movements. Susan B. Anthony was a Quaker and a UU, and Unitarian Universalists were among the founders of the NAACP and the ACLU, as well as the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. While political liberals clearly make a majority of UU churches nationwide, our faith aspires us to diversity and welcomes congregants regardless of political views. Like the beliefs of our UU politics, no, let me go back and say that again. Like the belief of UU politics are decided by individuals, not by congregations or the denomination. Please accept Tom's service and ensuing discussion in the spirit in which it is given. We will love you if you agree, and we will also love you if you disagree with anything that Tom shares with us or any comments that are made. If you disagree, however, we really and truly would love to hear your views, and we would appreciate it if you would get a hold of Carl Seidman. Where are you, Mr. Carl? Right there. And offer to share a different point of view for all of us to digest. On that note, Tom.
Thank you so much for that introduction. Now I've got to live up to it, and that's going to be a problem, I'm sure, but we'll make it through. When Carl approached me, we were talking about the possibility of doing a review of the election of 2018, but when scheduling came up and it's the end of the year, it was a good time to look at what was going to be happening in 2019. Hence my title for a Tom talk, not a TED talk, Politics 2019. What could possibly go wrong? Now, in deference to what you said, I have decided that I really need to make this nonpartisan. That's because there's enough that can go wrong on both sides of the political spectrum. So, having said that, let me go back to Dickens. It was the He wrote, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times." Sometimes in politics, we look at what has happened and those words seem appropriate. Back in 2008, even though we're in a recession, Democrats felt very good that Barack Obama was elected. I have Republican friends who thought it was a travesty. So for them, it was the worst of times. For me, it was the best of times. We look at 2016. In 2016, we have a reversal. And here again, we're looking at the best of times and worst of times. I have a lot of Democratic friends who feel it's the worst of times. And I have Republican friends who think it's the best of times. So, having said that, I do want to look at this from the standpoint of what politics are going to be looking like in 2019. But to do that, I think it's important that we do a quick comparison here for 2018. In 2018, we had an election that harkens back to 2010. We're looking at the best of times and the worst of times. Now, there's moderation. In 2010, you'll remember, total control of the government was ceded when the Republicans took the House, and we had more moderation, shall we say. Some people would look at it a little differently, but I'm going to be kind here. Now, in 2018, we have a reflection of that same occurrence. The House was won by 40 seats, and now we have a Democratic House as opposed to the Republican House. The Senate, as in 2010, the Senate stayed in the same party. The control is there, so we have a divided government. And a divided government brings things to a different venue. Looking at the election, though, before I move away from the 2018 election, I think the thing that will go down in history is this was the year of the woman. Women made a great difference in what happened, especially suburban women. The change in that area had allowed the Congress to moderate, shall we say. Women also took 23 seats in the Senate and 87 seats in the House of Representatives. That is a great increase. But if you look at the percentages, we're looking at 23% in the Senate and 20% in the House. Considering that the population is greater in females than it is in males, we have a long way to go yet. So it's a good beginning and we'll move from there. January 1st is the beginning of the new year and a continuation of a partial governmental shutdown. I'm going to go back a little bit here and just bring things into perspective. On December 11th, there was a televised meeting between Schumer and Pelosi plus President Trump. In that meeting, and I'm going to quote, he said he would be proud to shut down the government for border security. And that has come to fruition, unfortunately, for 80 some thousand government employees. And it's going to be an interesting time. To add to the perspective, I'm going to read two tweets, that presidential tweets that came out on the 28th of December. At 7:16, the president tweeted, "We will be forced to close the southern border entirely if the obstructionist Democrats do not give us the money to finish the wall, and also change the ridiculous immigration law that our country is saddled with. Hard to believe that there was a Congress and president who would approve." At 7:49, the tweet continued, "Close the southern border, bring our car industry back into the U.S. where it belongs, go back to pre-NAFTA before so many of our companies and jobs were so foolishly sent to Mexico. Either build, finish the wall, or we close the border." Well, that's a little change in tone from what was said on the 11th. And I read those tweets because on January 1st, we're continuing. Today, we're 9 days into the government being closed. And it looks like we're in for a long haul with the government closed. But I hope for the best, and we'll see what happens. On January 1st, another occurrence that I want to draw attention to would be that now acting Secretary of Defense Shanahan will be taking over as the Secretary of Defense, which with Secretary of State is one of the most important positions in the cabinet. I want to give a little history of for Mr. Shanahan, which many of us don't know. I know I was unaware of his background. He served 31 years with Boeing. He was vice president, general managers of different divisions, most of which were in the commercial aircraft segment of Boeing. He did have a little bit of experience with rotary wing aircraft along the way and with missile defense. The Secretary of Defense has responsible for all of our military. He has no experience in the military, and he has no experience in foreign affairs, which is the other segment that's very important. He will be working with the Secretary of State as well as just the military. So I wish for the best, but somewhere along the line, we have to have a Secretary of Defense who actually lives up to the needs of our country. And I'm not sure that Secretary Shanahan is that person. If, you know, we'll have to see. I don't want to make a snap decision on that. On January 3rd, that's the first day of the 116th Congress, Nancy Pelosi will be voted in, I feel fairly confident. In November, there was some concern, so this is one of the areas that could have gone wrong, but I doubt that it will. I hope it won't. And I expect that the first course of action will be to do to pass what is called a clean continuing resolution. Continuing resolution keeps the government open, but it would only be to February 8th, because what I anticipate, and I certainly don't have any inside information on this, but I do anticipate that she will have a bill for that continuing resolution that will reflect what Leader McConnell in the Senate had gotten approved by a voice vote, which is basically 1.3 $1 billion towards border security. That will be the opening gambit between the Senate House and the Senate. So we'll have to see what happens there. Another thing that can go wrong. So there's a theme here. Later in this first session, between the 3rd and the 12th, I would anticipate that H.R. 1, you may know of H.R. 1. If you don't, I'm going to give you just a little bit of information on it. It has not been presented per se because after the House changes, that's when it will be presented. But it is going to get into ethics rules for Congress, bringing it into the 21st century, basically reflecting today's Me Too movement. The Me Too movement has drawn attention to abuse that has occurred within our Congress and been covered up and paid for by Congress. That has to change. It also would be promoting voter rights. It will address and shore up the Voting Rights Act, which the Supreme Court basically knocked down, saying it's up to Congress to make changes that reflect today's society, not the 1960s society. So that will be addressed. And it will require any presidential candidate after nominated by his party to release 3 years of their tax returns. So that, take it for what it's worth. Now, it's probably symbolic. The reason being, McConnell has control of what does reach the floor of the Senate. So I strongly doubt that the Senate will vote on it, but it will begin negotiations. So as far as the government shutdown, after this, we'll have to see what happens. We don't know, and I'm not going to speculate. In that same time frame, from January 3rd through the 12th and beyond, there's, my apologies, I should turn off my phone if I'm making a talk. But what I would anticipate is the committees for judiciary, for oversight and government reform, and intelligence will come together and sit down and start looking at investigations, just as the Republican House did when they were in session. So we're going to have investigations. And I mentioned this, even though Nadler from the judiciary, Elijah Cummings from oversight, and Adam Schiff from intelligence on TV shows have been saying, we're going to have some investigations, but we're also going to try to do the business of the people. It is very easy to overstep in these investigations. This is an area that the Democrats can have a problem. I don't think they will, and I certainly hope they won't, but investigations are going to take place, and just be prepared. We're already seeing people on TV from the Democratic side for looking at having aspirations to be president. I saw one this morning already. This is going to be a big part of 2019. I understand, and I haven't really counted them, but over 30 aspirants are going to be looking at possibly becoming candidates. 30 is a lot of people to go through, and another area that is of concern. Now, you can see my theme. I'm going for a little bit heavy on the Democrats, and things can go wrong there, but I didn't want to be so anti-Republican that I would turn anyone off on this, but I think that this is a very serious thing for our country. We have to have an election that will have viable candidates and good options available. So that's going to be important for the Democratic Party. Now, on the Republican side, the president's reelection committee has already raised $100 million. There is one person who has expressed the possibility of running against that president. That is John Kasich, former governor of Ohio. It's uncertain what's going to happen there, but unfortunately, because of Citizens United, money is going to be a bigger part of the election, and the president already has a very good head start in that area. I just wanted to point that out. But this is why we have to be looking at the aspirants and potential candidates very closely. And I'll leave that for discussion if anybody wants to touch on that further. As early as February, according to one news source, the biggie could happen. The Mueller investigation and probe will at some point, possibly as early as February, write a report and send it to the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice will then review it and forward it to the Attorney General or Acting Attorney General Whitaker, depending on what has happened at that point, whenever this comes out. It will be up to that Attorney General to determine whether that report is released. If it is not released, I have a feeling that many people will be viewing this as a constitutional crisis. That word is thrown around a lot, but it is of concern. So that could go wrong as well. The one thing that I am going to mention again as a potential problem for the Democrats, the I word. Over the past year, a lot of Democrats and funding sources, in one particular case, have talked heavily about impeachment. Impeachment is something that should not be handled flippantly. We have to have legitimate grounds. This is an area that I get very concerned about. We have an election coming up in 2020, which would be the ideal way to address any grievances on the part of the American public. If a Mueller report came out with serious allegations, and I do mean very serious allegations, towards the president, it would require 67 votes in the Senate to remove that president. So, you have to have, in a Senate that has 57 members, you have to have a lot of Republicans that would go along with removal. We saw what happened in the case of Bill Clinton. It was an overreach on the part of the Republicans in power at that point, and they did pay a price. So, we'll have to see what happens. I just want to mention again that impeachment should not be one of the areas that we really concentrate on at this point. Let's see what happens. In things that could go wrong, I have to touch on the economy. We've seen in the past week or so a roller coaster with the stock market. Now, the stock market is not the economy, but there are potential weaknesses, and we have seen reaction to tariffs. This is very concerning in a slowing economy on the world stage. Tariffs should not, in my estimation, be used as a tool to try to make America strong. It's not going to do that. It's already hurting the farmers that grow and export soybean. We had a farm bill that passed, by the way, a bipartisan bill that passed both houses and was signed by the president. So bipartisanship can occur. But the farm bill also had help for farmers who were being hurt by the tariffs. The Chinese, their economy is slowing. There's no question on that. But it's still relatively strong. And they targeted tariffs towards areas that they thought would politically influence America. And I hope that people will look at that and say, that's not going to be the best way to go. And on the economy, closing the southern border, when I first read, I'd only read that one tweet, the first one I read, talked about closing the southern border. I said, he can't possibly be talking about closing the border totally. Can't possibly. Then the next tweet, which I read specifically for this reason, he does say, close the border, period. If that were to occur, that can be economically devastating, because with auto manufacturing, it's basically assembly in many cases. And this could devastate an economy that we have going. So I hope that this is not really something that is going to occur. But we'll see. Going back a little bit to investigations and probes. I talked to my son. He's a lawyer down in Tampa. Excuse me. And we were talking about the politics. And his position is that the much more than Mueller, the probe for the Southern District of New York may be the most substantial investigation going. That, after Cohen had turned and given information, and immunity was given to Weisselberg, the Trump Organization's CFO, I think that's his title. At any rate, there's a lot of potential problems for the president's business and the family members. In talking to him, he said, I'm not going to go there. I started to, but I better not yet. We don't know how the president would respond if family members are involved. So this is a potential problem that could raise its head. And finally, as far as probes, the New York State Attorneys General has already gone after the Trump charities, and that is being settled. It's being closed down. But also going after the Trump Organization. Now, the president has the right of pardon, but that only applies to federal offenses and convictions. It does not apply to states. So, here again, a potential area of conflict. And here again, there's a lot that could go wrong. I was told I should try to keep it at 20 minutes. And when I ran through my initial presentation, I ran 40 minutes, and I'd only done about two-thirds of it. So, I am not Carnac the Magnificent. I do not know what's going to happen. But I've pointed out a few things, and I think I'm probably within that 20-minute period, unless I've spoken a lot faster than I thought I had. But I would like to open up discussion, because I don't think I can go much further than that and really be doing service to what can happen. Yes?
I'd be happy to be first.
All right.
First, I want to compliment you. Relatively apolitical in a politically charged environment. That's quite a thing. A second point I'd like to make. We talk about Democrats. I was appalled. I didn't like either of them. Mm-hmm. I decided to look at my own political. Really, I was a conservative fiscal and monetary policy, but moderate to liberal social policy. Mm-hmm. So there is the Liberal Party, and really didn't know anything about him except that he didn't know what CETO stood for or something like that. Just one more point, and that is, however, it was long overdue. This mm-hmm. has been expanding. And the reason why it's happening so fiercely right now, Adam Smith wrote his The Wealth of Nations, and The Economist, who in the idea of growth, is going to be for restriction of free trade, everybody wins. And that's why what Trump is doing now, I hope, is for, and I think that's going to happen because everybody wins, us, the world. It's going to happen. So with regard to 2018, yeah, there'll be some more unsettled in the stock market, but it will, as the tariff situation, the free trade situation, will evolve, and it'll be okay. And we've got a strong economy, strong thing for a long time, low. The Federal Reserve is its policy. And so I'm very bullish, you know, happiness and prosperity, because we're going to be prosperous, you know. This is the way you build wealth, and it's good, and people know it, and it's going to happen. So,
If I may respond just a little bit on that and then move on. Free trade has been a hallmark of the Republican Party for a long time. And yes, it may be a bargaining point, but the fact that NAFTA was viewed as such a negative position to take, and also the Pacific Trade Pact, I can't even remember the name of it now, but Trans-Pacific Partnership. Thank you. Yes, without us. So I'm not as bullish on free trade. And that's all I wanted to say. If Melba had her hand up before you, so let's go with, if you don't mind. And then Jody.
I know you're not Carnac the Magnificent because you don't have as much
talent. I wish I had one.
Oh!
Mark it.
I did say you were bullish.
Okay.
The takeaway is democracy is not invincible. May or may not be our experience. But we all need to be aware of it, and we all need to be acting it, and we all need to work to. I hope we succeed.
Jody, you.
The aluminum king of Russia. Elizabeth Warren saw that and went after it and reversed that. But Trump is, I believe it had 30 days from the December. Russell. R-U-S-A-L.
Russell. Yeah.
So we need to be contacting. That's it right here. Congress has 30 days. This was from December 19th to call a vote to block the Trump. It's an aluminum magnet. It's a long time ago that Mueller gave about the trying. Thank you. This is, so we're not doing tariffs. How we combat that? I don't know what we do about that. And Mel was right. We're going to see this year that it's very scary.
Vigilance is important in any situation, but I agree, especially in our situation today. I specifically have stayed away from trying to be partisan, but I'm going to tell everyone I proudly agree with what is being said. So, I don't want to be apolitical. I can't be. But at any rate, I'm wondering if there are any opposing views, though, or comments. I welcome discussion. If anyone has an opposing view, yes, please.
Especially with China, we buy all of their stuff. They buy very little of ours. I voted for Trump. I'm not crazy about Trump, but it was the lesser of two evils in my mind, okay?
A lot of people.
And I think something needed to be done with the tariffs. He's the only one who has ever even had any guts to try to do anything. It's disappointing if he's not doing it legally, okay? It needs to be done. Other countries need to buy our products the same way we buy theirs. And the tariffs should be somehow more equal than what it's ever been. But if there's a conspiracy going on, that's not good for any of the countries.
True. Agreed. Tariffs have a history of having an adverse effect on our economy.
Yes.
That is one thing that we have been very cautious on in the past because of the effects that the tariffs have had on the world economy. And we are the richest and most prosperous nation in the world. We have some responsibility in that position, I personally think. So, yes, let's go to the Canada tariffs towards milk. Yes, the producers of dairy products in Canada had a very sweet deal, but it has not kept, if you look at the cost of milk at Walmart, I mean, it has not gone up with inflation anywhere along the way. There are things that we can put up with, but your point is well taken, and I agree with you wholeheartedly as far as if there's anything as far as a conspiracy. But thank you.
Can I say one thing about milk?
Please.
Why is milk so expensive on the oat? Were those cows all over the place? Milk is a dollar
Well,
everywhere.
At Walmart, it's $2.34, so that's not, that is really, considering the inflation that has occurred, I can remember when milk was in Atlanta back in the 70s, it was close to $1.99 at that point. Yeah, I know now, but I'm not qualified to answer on, so I'll have to pass on that. Yes, sir, you had a comment, please.
My objection to the tariff is the hijacking by the president of power is extraordinary. His charter for setting a tariff was if it affected strategically.
Yes.
And I'll be damned if somebody can explain to me how Canada is a strategic threat to the United States.
Thank you.
Congress should have stopped this.
You are absolutely correct. That is the whole basis of his using the powers improperly. I'm sorry. That is indeed the case. It is supposed to be strategic threat.
I get your point. There is tariffs. Well known for protective tariffs for stealing intellectual property,
which is serious.
Which is a very serious threat for forcing American companies like, say, General Motors that come to reveal their technology and their techniques to the Chinese so that they can replicate that and then sell it at a much lower cost back to them.
Agreed.
So that they can afford to do that because they didn't have it.
Right.
And that does check the president.
Yes. And the power of the vote has not been exercised. And unfortunately, the way the Constitution was set up, allowing two senators for every state, regardless of population, is going to continue.
Again,
it's very difficult.
That was in a time the United States was viewed as the EU. It was a conglomerate of separate principalities, separate states that had their own autonomy.
Right.
After the Civil War, these United States to the United States, and that was a fundamental shift in the
Good
way
point.
Americans viewed themselves in the South.
Melba?
What if you woke up down that half of the people of all kinds, less than 50% of us out of war?
The weakening of the United States is occurring. You're absolutely correct. And that would make many of the opponents of the United States during the Cold War very, very happy to look back and see it at finally the United States is getting their comeuppance. So Dan had his hand up. Do you still
yeah.
have something? And then we'll go to you, okay?
Make sure it's not bullshit.
Right.
Anyway, you mentioned the laws, and most of us, when presented with facts, time and time and time and time and again, we will say, oh, yeah, that's probably. Well, I'm all about the truth of stories. I firmly believe that. There's been people already convicted. There's already people gone to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So there is no maybes about this. There is no witch hunt.
Yeah.
There's criminality here. There's criminality here, and we're in the process of working through all of that. And we'll have to be patient and let that manifest itself. Okay? The fact of the matter is, U.S. exports to Mexico machinery, $42 billion. Electric machinery, $41 billion. I'm not talking about millions. I'm talking about billions. Services, $31 billion. Vehicles, $21 billion. Minerals and fuels, $20 billion. Agricultural products, $18 billion. Close the border to Mexico. You're dealing with it. A lot of people have gone to jail. A lot more people have come out. So, you know, there's a lot of criminality here, and it's going to open up. We allow this to happen.
Yeah.
We allow ourselves to get
just for a second. Sure.
A historical, had a roaring 20s, and then the stock market crashed, and the economy was weakened, and we were coming out of the recession. Late 1932-3, that Congress, in its typical absence, they passed the Smoot-Hawley Act.
Yeah.
Which was an act that reached dramatically. And the people with real money who knew what was going on, they dumped their share. And that started. I mean, we were in a recession before we were coming out of it. That's when the Smoot-Hawley Act was passed. That was the beginning.
But that was the tariffs were part of that created that problem. That is where we have been very cautious. In reference to tariffs, that's the reason for the caution. I couldn't remember the name of the act. Thank you. I didn't. I should have looked at it beforehand, but I hadn't. But thank you so much. Okay. One last.
I think the thing to pass the two has new to say launch. You have a president who can say, I'm at war with you, and oh my bad, I know it has to do this, and that country turns around and say launch, then we're at war.
Oh. Okay. In talking to my son, that's the one thing that I did not do. He said, what could possibly go wrong? He said, just stand up, say, thermonuclear war, and go sit down. And, I mean, he was being offhanded, funny, but I did not want to mention it. You mentioned it. Okay, I agree, because that is a very major concern and the reason for the title that I chose. Is I was told to give a title on the day that Mattis gave his resignation. I'll let you think about that from there. That's why I chose the title I did. Thank you so very much.